Good morning, brothers. It has been a joy being with you this week and learning. I just want to thank you for allowing us to come, and it's certainly been just a very productive week as we are making improvements on our preaching. I joke with people all the time and tell them I'm a jackleg musician. When I was younger, my mom put me in piano lessons, and I did that for a little while, and whenever we would have practice, my mom would come and watch me in class, and I would have the sheet music in front of me, and I would be playing the song, but they eventually caught on to the fact that I wasn't actually reading the sheet music. What I learned early on was that if you figure out the melody of the song, then you could just play it by ear and fill it in as you go. So there's something really kind of resonating with figuring out a melody, because when you figure out a melody, wherever you are, especially if you're a musician, you can find your way back into the song. So just as every song has a unique sound, every book of the Bible has a unique message. Just as every song has a unique sound, every book of the Bible has a unique message. We call that the melodic line. I'll try to draw a musical note. Now remember, I play by ear, so these things are foreign. All right, you understand what I mean. So, every book of the Bible has a unique message. One of the benefits, I believe, of sequential exposition is that you get the opportunity to figure out what the argument of a book is before you preach it. I couldn't imagine every Sunday preaching different texts and having to figure out the melodic line of every single book of the Bible. So the benefit of preaching through books is you are afforded the opportunity before time to review the book, assemble its parts, and discern its meaning. The value of discovering the melodic line is it directly impacts how you preach week to week. Because if you discover that the melodic line is this thing, when you're preaching your sermons in the series, all of your arguments somehow align with and support the overall message and theme of the book. So what are some ways, what are some strategies that we can use to discover the meaning and the message of a book? What are some strategies?
Reading the entire book, looking for consistent, repeated themes.
So we'll start with read. I know that sounds basic, but it really is important to like read the book before you preach it. I have a good friend who wasn't doing expositional preaching at first, but he got into some trouble at his church, and the deacon started accusing him of preaching about his troubles from the pulpit. So they would say he would find texts that would, you know, hit at his enemies in the church and preach it. And so he just picked up a random book, 1 Corinthians. He had never done extensive work in it. And so he's preaching it each week, and he's discovering stuff as the members are discovering things. So you can only imagine how that went. So it's so important to actually like read the book before you preach it so that you can have an idea of where you're going with this. You don't want to be on the journey with them. You want to be guiding them through the journey that you've been on from your personal study. So read, and then you said find, you said something else.
Looking for repeated themes.
Okay. So themes, recurring themes. Yes, sir.
Out loud reading. And I'm sure you're like me. I'm so used to it. Quietly, I just skip things. My mind fills in the blank.
Right.
I just slow down when I read out loud, and then I hear things that I honestly would not have noticed before.
Right. One of my good friends, Romel Williams, he introduced me to a practice where he reads. He gets the audio Bible. And he lets it read to him throughout. They have some real neat ones. They have one with Morgan Freeman. That's a good one if you haven't listened to that. And it's good to just kind of listen to people, listen to people reading scripture and allow it to really get inside of you. What are some other strategies, techniques that we can employ to arrive at the message of an entire book? Okay. Beginning and end. What else? We call that tops and tail, right? Some other strategies?
See if there's a theme statement or a purpose statement.
Okay. Check for purpose statements. These are all good strategies, and they can aid you in determining what the meaning of a book is. Now, we like to think of arriving at the melodic line as a provisional melodic line. So before you preach through a book, you want to come up with a tentative idea or statement of what you think the overall message of the book is. And the reason we call it provisional is because through extensive study of the passage and thorough exegesis, you might refine it along the way, but you do want to have a sense of what kind of the key elements of the book, what they are and how they are arranged. But it will change. It can change, and sometimes it should change. So we call that a provisional statement because you're just trying to work through it. You're trying to wrap your arms around it. It's easier to do with some books than other books. And so we're going to look at some examples today. We're going to start with Jude, the book of Jude, and with the person or persons next to you, let's figure out the melodic line of Jude. All right? We're going to look at this from a couple of angles. We're going to start first with top and tail. Top and tail. Top and tail. So make sure with the person next to you that you all have looked at top and tell. What do we discern from the beginning and end of our text? To be kept? All right. All right. Anybody have anything different? To be kept. Show us where you got that from.
So verse 1, those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you.
All right. Now what I want you to do in your group is to see if the word kept recurs anywhere else in that text. Kept. All right. Read it for us.
Verse 6, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life.
All right, there's one more. There's one more verse. Right? 13, read it for us.
We were wondering this.
You got to.
Not in the Greek in front of us.
Right.
Talks about for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved.
Reserved, right. And in the Greek, it's all of them are the same words. So that's just a, you know, you could have still, you still can see that kept is something that is populating several times in the book of Jude. So now that you've looked at top and tail, now that you've looked at repeating phrases with your partner, decide what your provisional melodic line will be. All right, brothers, what did you come up with? Anybody want to share what you came up with as a draft for your melodic line in Jude? Because what we've done is we've connected what we've learned from two strategies, which were, what were they? Top and tail, and what else? Repeated phrases. All right. Anybody want to share with what you all came up with?
Those were kept content.
Okay. Where'd you get that? Show us. Walk us through your process.
Yeah. So the kept is the repeated phrase. This one was top and tail, but then also the statement in the foreword. He says, "I found it necessary to write a feeling to you to be content for the faith."
All right. Hold that thought.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
No, we're going to do the purpose statement next.
But,
yeah, no, it's all good. Anybody else? Just based off of top and tail, repeated phrases.
We said something like, since God is keeping you for Christ, since God is keeping you from truth and falsehood, and keeping you from falsehood and sin, and keeping you for truth and righteousness, and keeping those who rebel in judgment. Therefore, keep yourself in the most holy faith, knowing that He is able to keep you.
All right. That's good. That's like a Beethoven. Right. Okay. Got you. Now we're going to connect the purpose statement. The purpose statement. So with your group, we've done top and tail. We've done repeated words. Purpose statement. Purpose statement. All right, anybody want to share? Now, before we go into this, these are all remember drafts and provisional melodic lines. And I want to, like, really reinforce that because I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that you can find the meaning of a book in 15 minutes. So please don't hear me to be saying that. This is giving you strategies to arrive at the melodic line, but you're not going to be able to go in your office and do a 10-minute exercise and come out and have the whole book figured out. So please don't hear me to be saying that. So these are all provisional melodic lines for a reason. Go ahead, brother.
Based on verses 3 and 21, we came up with contending for the faith to the love of God.
Okay, explain the love of God part.
It says in verse 21, and actually it's more of the thing, that section, verses 17 through 23, it says, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt, save others by snatching them out of the fire, and others show mercy with fear and hope, hating even their own sin by their own. So the beginning says, contend for the faith in verse 3, how do we do that? We do that through the love of God.
Well,
now
we
also talk about mercy.
Okay. All right. Anybody want to refine that or share your provisional melodic line? Keep the faith by contending
for each other
and against false teaching. Could you explain kind of how y'all arrived at that?
So, like, in terms of,
you know, we got the tail, the top of the tail.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, he talks about continuing for the faith. But then to this point back here, there's a grounding in the love of Christ. And so, you know, on one hand, it seems that you are contending, you know, for your brothers and sisters who perhaps are experiencing
we all got it now, so.
You want to stop?
So contending against all teachers, because that's the largest part of the opening. And then the back end, like as was noted, there's a building one another up in love, prayer, and fighting for each other, giving mercy to each other.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I like the purpose, and you said I want to write you about the gospel, but it's more important, urgent, to write about contending for the faith, learn once to live with all the saints. But then the doxology, now the hymn was able to point you. And so I said it's to be on guardians, false teachers, and contend for the faith, once to live with all the saints, depending on the keeping grace of God. So the key is able.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
It seems like there has to be some interplay in your melodic line between what Jude is calling the believer to do,
mm-hmm,
in light of what God is doing and has done.
Right.
If you don't have that interplay, it seems like you're missing an important
right
dynamic.
What would be some one-word descriptions of those ideas? Anybody?
Maybe because you're kept in Christ, contend for the faith, keeping the love of God, my God.
Say that.
One word.
Yeah, but well, I was trying to kind of condense those ideas. I hear what you're saying.
Because you're kept, contend for the faith, keeping the love of God.
I think that does include both of those ideas in one. So another way to look at that is, so from the different strategies, sometimes you discover different things. And so the way I look at it is I may have a scratch sheet of paper out as I'm reading, and I may just jot down some things like kept, you know, love, you know, whatever, those things. And then I try to look at them and see, now what's recurring? What's the harmony going on here? Wrap my arms around it and create a statement that looks like it. So all of what you come up with won't be phrased in the same way, but a good melodic line would all have the same ideas. And so just from this short exercise, most of you all have identified the key ideas of this epistle. So I want to look at another example, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. And with the person next to you, or the people next to you, rather, I want you to try to come at the melodic line. But the first thing I want you to look at is purpose statement, purpose statement with the person next to you. All right, purpose statement. Purpose statement. Purpose statement. Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus. Verse 31. But you shall read, so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
All right. So, based off of that, and I don't recommend this, but for just the practice of this exercise, how would that help to get you along in discerning what the melodic line is? Anybody? How would that help you get a head start?
Key terms, key concepts.
Key terms, key concepts. You had your hand here, brother.
Just from the standpoint of John saying, this is done to believe in Christ and to have life in his name.
All right, so two ideas. So two ideas. Now you have to, I'm just, I know that this is just a brief exercise. You have to see how those things play out in the Gospel of John. So with the person next to you, try to find at least three references of both things, believe in life, in the Gospel of John. All right. Have we found references? All right. We'll let you go, Abe.
At the very beginning, pretty famous passage, 1, verse 4, the beginning was life, the life was the light of men. And then down in verses 12 and 13, to all who received him who believed his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So there's belief and life tied together.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Life. All right, John 3:16. All right. Presbyterians in the room. All right. Anybody else?
You got all the bread of life, and living water, resurrection of life.
Okay. With those ideas, how would you create a provisional melodic line? So you have believe in life, and there are way more examples. I just wanted us to kind of get two or three key strong ones. So based off of those two ideas, you would have to find a way to express that. So how would you express that as a melodic line? Just throw some ideas at me. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Eternal life through faith in Christ.
Okay. Eternal life through faith in Christ. Anybody else?
Eternal life with those who believe.
Eternal life to those who believe.
Life-giving belief.
Life-giving belief. How about believe in Jesus and you will have life. Mm-hmm. Believe in Jesus and you will have life. Okay, so now that we have that, we have to see how that plays out in the Gospel of John. So we have to actually see if this is something that can be proven. So go to John chapter 1, verse 35. The pericope, verse 35, that goes to verse 42. And test out the melodic line. All right? So, how was that test? When you've heard this passage, how have you ordinarily heard it preached? Have you ordinarily? Yep. Right. Right. So evangelism, people preaching in the context of discipleship. But how does the melodic line kind of, how is it played out in this particular passage? In what ways?
John's declaration of who Jesus is.
Where? What verse?
36, he looks at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God."
All right. Is there any other declaration, any other thing going on there?
Yes.
Yep.
We found the Messiah.
What verse is that?
41.
Yep. Read it for us. Read it for us.
Yes. He first found somebody, Simon, and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ.
Yes. So with that understanding, how does the melodic line enrich your comprehension of that pericope? So how would that help your sermon? So following Jesus is, you know, not just about obeying his commands or adopting some of his ethical teaching. It starts with what? Belief in him. So it's important that when you have a provisional melodic line, that you're testing it out with the passages that you preach to ensure that there's harmony. Now, we're going to go to the book of Judges. Say that for last. So what are key themes? Key themes. In the book of Judges, key themes. All right? Death.
Lord, everyone is right.
People of Israel did what is evil.
Okay. Relativism. Okay. Let's just put lack of leadership. Someone says mercy. What else? Apostasy. Someone.
Broken heroes.
Okay.
Temporary peace.
No peace.
Temporary peace.
Okay, I can't erase this, so we got you.
Anarchy,
the Lord raising up leaders. Okay, now let's try to distill this into some key categories. Someone said apostasy. Someone says lack of leadership. What are some key kind of angles going on here in Judges? Because a melodic line can't be everything. It has to be a big enough umbrella to cover all of the key themes and concepts within the book. Let's try the top and tail strategy. So with the person next to you, just look at the beginning of the book. So look at chapter 1 and then look at the closing chapter. See if you can find anything. All right, what do we get from tops and tail? Everybody, let's come back this way. Top and tail, what do we get? What do we get?
The first verse starts with the death of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. And then in chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, so you don't have a king.
All right, so we know that somehow the leadership void plays into it. All right, now we're going to look at like key themes and concepts throughout Judges. What's the cycle in Judges? What's the cycle? What happens? What's the repeated refrain?
Israel does what's evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord hands them over to the people who spend a period of time in service or oppression under that people who they cry out, Lord, raise up a judge, they get deliverance, and they go right back.
Right. Right. I know it's kind of corny. I'm Baptist. But in my mind, I have, when I'm going through Judges, sin, subjugation, supplication, salvation. Kind of, that's what happens. Sin, subjugation, supplication, because they cry out, and then salvation. It happens time and time again. It's a downward spiritual spiral. So with that in mind, you have a couple of things going on. You have, someone said apostasy. So you have apostasy and you have sin. Is there a way that we can put those concepts together as an expression? Right. Idolatry or, let's try, say that.
Unbelief.
What about faithlessness? Does that work? So you have faithlessness. So you have a group of people who are displaying faithlessness. But what do we learn about God in the book of Judges? Okay. So you got faithfulness, faithlessness, faithfulness. And what else? Does that really capture everything that's going on? So we got faithless people, a faithful God, but to what end? What's the purpose? What is God doing?
Deliverance.
Deliverance? Okay.
I think it's
that would be more with his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. But to that point, do they ever experience true deliverance? And so what does that do for us rhetorically?
Messianic expectations.
Okay, messianic expectations. So somebody who said that?
Satan's
said that the hope of a faithful
king. The hope of a faithful king. But I would say for the book of Judges, those three concepts have to be in the melodic line. Faithlessness, faithfulness, so there's sin and mercy. And also expectation or longing, because somehow this cycle really stokes their anticipation for a true and permanent king. So as you're working through a melodic line for Judges, it needs to incorporate those concepts. Sin or faithlessness, apostasy, idolatry, however you want to characterize it. Faithfulness of God, and also this longing and expectation. So the person next to you in the last couple of minutes that we have, create based off of those signposts a provisional melodic line for the book of Judges. All right. Anybody like to share? Talk up just a little bit. Okay. All right. Our faithlessness causes, leads God
to raise up a faithful king to
deliver us.
I like it.
Okay, good. Good. Somebody, I agree, right? Ditto. Anybody else? Yep. Yes.
Amidst Israel's deepening sin, God is faithful to raise up deliverers, cultivating and longing for the ultimate deliverer.
Yep. One more time.
Amidst Israel's deepening sin.
Amidst Israel's deepening sin.
God is faithful to raise up deliverers.
God is faithful to raise up deliverers.
Cultivating a longing for the ultimate deliverer.
Cultivating a longing for the ultimate deliverer. Nicely said.
God's hopeful covenant steadfastness throughout Israel's continual faithlessness and failure.
All right. What about it?
The hopeful, for the hopeful in there, for that expectation.
Restate it. Maybe I missed some.
God's hopeful covenant steadfastness throughout Israel's continual faithlessness and failure.
Does what?
He's putting a lot in the word hopeful.
Okay.
Trying to simplify.
Okay. No, I was looking for the verb. I'm following. So you're saying that's the theme.
The redemption. I guess if you put a highlighting of God's hopeful, put a highlighting of.
But all the themes are there. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. God's faithfulness proves to his faithless people their need for a faithful king.
That's good. Say it again. Somebody write that down for me.
God's faithfulness proves to his faithless people their need for a faithful king.
That's good. It's really good.
Sounds like you preached that.
So the repeated faithlessness despite God's faithfulness shows the need for a faithful king.
That is really good. Good. All right. Thank you, brothers. That's time.